Welcome back to another episode of Don't Let the Disability Fool You. Hey, I'm your host, Domo Jones, and this episode is sponsored by Salve, an online store specifically for the disabled community who break the stigma. It's not just a brand, it's a statement. Also, Our Time Transportation and Companionship Services, which is a small nonprofit organization that provides private transportation and services for seniors and the disabled community within the Inland Empire. Yo, are y'all ready though? We got a super dope guest. I don't think y'all ready, but y'all gotta be ready. Riley, what up though?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Today is a good day.
Listen, I understand. I already understand what you mean. I already understand. You ain't gotta say no more.
Right?
Man. Yo, so let's get into it. Riley, tell us your story. Like, start from the beginning. We want to know.
So growing up, I was always called a hypochondriac. Everything. I was like, I don't feel great. Don't know why. Could never really figure out what was going on. I was like the medical anomaly. I'd walk into a hospital every year and they would have no clue what was wrong with me. I have been tested for everything. Ended up getting like hospitalized like 2 years ago, right about 4th of July, because I kept just more or less losing my entire body functioning.
Really?
So they thought I was having seizures. Yeah, it was, you know, mid-20s, finding out that you might have a seizure disorder was terrifying.
Right.
Ended up being, they put me on a couple different meds, went through a bunch of different testing, and they're like, no, you don't have seizures, so we don't know what's wrong with you. I was like, great, not helpful.
Right.
Like, not cool. So ended up switching neurologists, and they're like, hey, so not common, super rare disorder, but you have one of two possibilities. And one is rare, cataplexy, don't have that. And they're like, okay, well, the other one, because of your potassium levels, we're pretty sure that you have hypokalemic periodic paralysis. And I was like, great, what is that?
Right.
I was like, that's not a thing. So I looked it up and I was like, okay, the best way I can describe it is my body produces potassium and then decides, you know what? Nah, we're going to hold on to it and not let it through the bloodstream. And when your body doesn't have potassium in it, your entire body paralyzes itself and shuts down. Yeah, super fun, super exciting, super cool. Then, right, I'm like, cool, so I got this new diagnosis. How do I deal with it? It's been about a year and a half now. So we had to like fix a bunch of meds. Then I found out I was allergic to like all white pills because it has a food derivative in it that I am anaphylaxis to. So so it's been kind of a crazy little uphill battle. And now I started speaking to my association for periodic paralysis, and they're like, cool, you can eat salt. I don't know if you actually have hypokalemic periodic paralysis, because typically we can't eat salt. And I was like,
right.
Okay, cool. So what do I have? So I have periodic paralysis for sure, which is just some days are better than others. Some days it's like, hey, my leg feels really weak. Sometimes all of a sudden out of nowhere, I go into full body paralysis, where I can hear everything, but I can't even open my eyes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that happened a couple of weeks ago at the hospital. I drove to the ER, walked in the door. By the time they put me on a bed, I had completely lost all functioning, and had to get a potassium IV so that I could start responding and moving again.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand, because this is like super crazy to me. I've never heard about this.
Yeah.
So your potassium level, when it gets low, it causes paralysis?
Correct.
That is my... Wow.
So most people will. So if your potassium... So the normal potassium level is like 3... Oh, don't quote me on this. I want to say it's like 3.5 to 5.5 or 3.6 to 5.6, somewhere in there. And most people stay in that range. And
yeah.
For hypokalemic for hypokalemia in general, so low potassium, it's dropping below that like 3.5. But what I've since found out is that if you have this disorder of periodic paralysis and you typically aren't in the 4 range, you will typically be having mild episodes of paralysis.
Wow.
So if anybody dropped to like 1, you would also be paralyzed. Because potassium is kind of like what makes you move, your body move.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that's the crazy thing. So like right now, for example, I'm talking, I can move, everything's fine, but my entire right arm, you wouldn't be able to tell at all if I'm moving it, is like slightly weak and kind of tingly. So really? I'm like, great. It's either gonna decrease and I'll be great, or I'll have to take like a potassium emergency tablet. It's kind of like Alka-Seltzer, drop it in water or juice, it evaporates or dissolves into it, and then it's like this potassium kick. And then I'll have to do that so that like I can finish out the day. Yeah.
So like that's like crazy.
I know, right?
So like what triggers the potassium level to become low?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I can answer that. So typically low sugar, high sugar, so like candy, is typical for anybody with hypokalemic periodic paralysis. I have recently found out has salt also. For me, I like the only thing I can eat when I'm in an episode is potatoes or hash browns with like salt on it. So apparently that's not normal for this. And then for me, I have found out I also have a weird neuroocular type thing where my eyes don't track correctly. So when my neuro starts going wonky because of my vision, it will also create the neurological episodes for the paralysis. So I have like weird light, kind of like strobe lights or dawn and dusk, or rapid changing of light, like while driving, will typically trigger one for me because I have another neurological disorder that's related to my vision. But also like missing meals, anything like that will also do it. Dehydration will do it because I don't have enough like liquid to pass through my system. Cold is a really big trigger. So I don't know if you've ever like have you ever gone out in like the snow and like, or like really cold weather and then come in and wash your hands in like warm water and it hurts?
You know, I haven't, but my body is very sensitive to the cold weather though.
Yeah. So that like, for anybody listening, like that painful, like you can still kind of move, but it's like hurts. That is like normal and it's always lasted for like a good 30 minutes or longer after I come inside, and I thought that was normal. Found out the other day that's not normal.
Oh my gosh.
So exercise, it's not exercising, but it's like stopping after exercise can cause it too. It's like that stop of movement can cause that.
Okay. So. Yeah. Like that sudden stop. Got it.
Yeah. So there's some weird ones.
It's like the like the most rarity things. Stuff that people just do, you know, like on a regular basis, like they don't think twice about it. That's something that you have to not overcompensate, but you have to really think about.
Yeah. And I also have like very extreme allergies. I carry an EpiPen. I'm allergic to every pretty much over-the-counter medication.
Really?
Yeah. Like ibuprofen, Tylenol, acetaminophen, and aspirin. I'm like anaphylaxis to all of them.
That's crazy.
I know. So if I get sick, or if I have extreme allergies, because I like am allergic to literally the world, that can also cause episodes. So that's just like something random with me that like,
yeah.
So I have to like, I'm like, oh, there's a forest fire because I live in Colorado and we just had a bunch of them. I'm like, I can't leave my house because if I walk outside, I'll have an episode.
It'll be just detrimental. It'll be all downhill.
Yeah.
That is okay. So you said that you like you've always had these conditions growing up, but you were actually diagnosed when you became 20.
No, I was diagnosed officially about a year and a half ago.
Oh, a year and a half. Oh, so that's yesterday.
20-something, late 20s. I don't want to age myself. Late 20s.
Yeah, we don't. Y'all need to know that. Young, she young. Okay, that's all that matters. So, with having these episodes and these situations that you didn't really know about at first, what was that like? You know, like growing up, even like going to school or just having, you know, living the teenage life. Like, what was that like?
To be honest, a lot of it didn't super affect that time of my life, just because it didn't really become pronounced until about 2-3 years ago. I was getting allergy shots and was like, I don't feel okay. And they gave me 2 shots of Epi, still wasn't doing anything. And that's when I ended up in the hospital the first time for this specific thing. I didn't get my food allergy till I was a freshman in high school. And at first it was just intolerance to dairy on certain items, and it became a full-fledged actual I'm allergic to whey protein. So if I have a spoonful of whey protein or whatever, I will go into anaphylaxis at this point. So it was more just annoying. I always knew that sugar calmed me down. Everybody would be sugar gives you sugar rushes, and I'm no, it makes me want to sleep,
right.
And people were super confused by 10-year-old Riley is jumping off the walls. You give her a piece of sugar and she's sleeping.
Right. What? Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So, I was fairly active, but I always had muscle pains or things like that, or weakness. Didn't really know what it was from. But it never really, really affected everything because the allergies always came in first. And then now that my allergies are definitely under control and my asthma's under control, now it's all this other stuff. And it's become progressively, I guess, more pronounced and worse as the years have gone on. So
question. This is so amazing because I'm allergic to everything under the sun. And so I understand the allergies. Uh-huh. I've been having allergies for forever, and I'm allergic to the main stuff that people eat. Chocolate, peanuts, avocado, the main stuff. Okay, so what can you eat? Chicken, period. Yeah. That's it. Chicken and air sandwiches, nothing else. So I definitely understand that part. So my question is, when you finally got to, when you finally came to the understanding of, you know, okay, this is my life, whatever, I gotta deal with it. What made you get to that point? Because I, like you said, it's frustrating.
Oh yeah.
Growing up and having all this stuff, just a laundry list of stuff that you always have to be careful for. What made you get to the point to where you're like, all right, this is it. I gotta live with it, but I'm okay.
Can I get back to you when that happens?
You know what? I love the honesty, and I'm so dead serious because, and not everybody there. I love the honesty.
Well, and I get and that's, I think that's for all of us though. If I, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody, but at the same time, I feel like we have days where all of us in this situation, right, have days where things are great and we're excited, and then we realize we might have pushed it too far. And then the next day, we can't get out of bed. And we're like, we did everything right. What is going on?
Yeah.
And it is extremely frustrating. I don't know. Yeah. I know we're friends on Facebook and some social media and stuff. And I don't know if you saw my post yesterday because I'm writing those books for kids like us. And the one that I posted yesterday was one of the pages, but I changed all the words because yesterday I was I was at my wit's end. I all of a sudden, my whole leg just was numb and it hurt. And I could, I felt I was carrying around a peg leg. I could not bend it, couldn't move it. All of a sudden I started getting like this horrific headache. I mean, it was just like one thing after the other. And I was like, I did everything right today. I'm in my house.
Right.
What is going on? And so like the reason I wrote that book and like kind of took that image for that, it came in from illustration yesterday, was to say like, and the girl's like in her covers, like with tears in her eyes. And I was like, that was me all day yesterday. And like,
yeah.
I've been perfectly great and fine for a couple weeks. And then yesterday I was like, so angry at myself, at life, at my body. And all I wanted to do was do exactly that. Curl up in a ball in bed and not come back out until like I felt better.
Yeah. Cause that's real life stuff.
Yeah.
Like when we have to deal with just trying to live every day, that is, it's so painful. And the post that she's talking about is, today my disorder is hard to handle, but I am strong and will try again tomorrow.
Yep.
And she commented and said, today my whole body hurts, it's hard to walk, my left leg is painful, shaky, and my head is pounding. I think this illustration perfectly describes today. And that's real life stuff. That's real life stuff. And I commend the realty of you. Like,
oh, thank you.
Just being totally honest, I'm not there yet. And I'm not about to act like I am, because literally just yesterday I had an episode where I just wanted to tap out.
Yeah. I have that.
So I totally get that. And I again, like, I really appreciate you. You just being open and honest about that, because a lot of people like us, sometimes we always got to fight. We always got to put on the happy face. Uh-huh. Like, no, we're good. No, we're strong. No, we're not all the time.
Yeah. And it's,
we're not all the
and
time.
And it's hard when your family doesn't believe you. So like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I love my family. But I remember as this disorder first kind of presented itself in this form of, okay, I've got about 10 seconds before I drop to the ground and I'm fully paralyzed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I remember telling my sister about it, and she was like, well, why are you telling me? Because they had never seen it. They had never experienced it. We live across the country from each other. And I've always been very closed off about it. And I kid you not, within an hour of me telling her this, it happened. And it was kind of like, oh, it's real. And like, not to throw people under the bus, but there are certain like situations where a previous relationship, like I got to the point where it's like, if something's going to happen to me, maybe that's a better way to say it. If something's going to happen to me, I want it to be my fault, not because you refuse to react. You know, there were multiple instances where I should have gone to the ER. There's multiple instances where like, more or less, I'm like lucky to be alive because I responded and I was like, I won't rely on anybody else. And I was like, and that's traumatic. Like, that's like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to anybody else. And so luckily I'm now with this amazing person who is very supportive, almost like annoyingly so, where they're like, hey, you don't look okay. Are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. No, I don't think you are. I'm like, and mind you, like 2 minutes later, that person's always right.
And don't you hate that? Don't you hate that? I'm like, dang, you know too much. Yeah. I like you, but I hate it.
I know, and I super appreciate it, because like I also, it's like the first time ever, like I don't feel like I have to pretend that I'm okay.
Yes.
And so that's been, I mean, it took me years to get there, but that's been super, super helpful. But it's still a struggle day to day. Like, okay, is today going to be a good day? Or is today a day where I'm going to curl up in bed?
Right. And that's literally, and the thing that I want people to understand is, those days that we have our bad days, we don't know when they're coming. No.
And they can be halfway through, like, the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
Like, we're at a concert. This happened to me.
Yes.
Concert at Red Rocks in Colorado.
That is so true.
And I'm like,
that is so true.
Hey, if we don't leave right now, I'm not walking back to the car.
Right.
Like, you're going to have to carry me out of here completely limp. Like,
And it's so important to have people that that are around you that understand that.
Yeah.
And because it's sometimes for us going out and trying to quote unquote have fun, and we're like, dang, this ain't working for me. So I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I just don't really feel good.
Well, and I always feel bad because I have like one friend. Love this friend. Great friend. We get invited all the time. This friend lives about an hour away from us. And yeah. I have had to cancel every time I was supposed to go see this friend. If the friend comes to us, it's not a big deal. But whenever I have to go see this friend, I have to cancel because it always ends up being like a day that I'm stuck in bed or
yeah.
like something. Yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, really? And it'll be planned 2 weeks in advance. Like, I know of the event.
Right.
Oh my gosh, the amount of times I've had to cancel on this friend, I feel like it makes you feel terrible. It makes you feel like a horrible friend.
It really does. And it's like, it's almost like, man, they're not going to invite me to anything else.
Yeah. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that because I'm that friend too. I'm like, ooh. And like you said, I know ahead of time. Like, it's in my calendar.
Yeah.
I'm prepared. But when that day comes, my body says no, then I literally have to listen because mm-hmm. it would be worse off if I don't go than if I do and I push myself, and then my whole body will be reliant on my friend.
Yeah, for me, I'm more like, I'm not going to drive and have the issue of possibly going into paralysis while behind the
period.
Wheel.
Yes, so true, so true.
And I mean, I know they're coming for the most part, like I said, so the one that started in my arm at the start of this is now like up my arm and in my shoulder. So it's like the pain is kind of in my shoulder. My arm is like okay-ish.
Yeah.
So it's like it's moving and it'll move and then sometimes it'll go away and then next thing you know, it'll be like in my foot. I'll be like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I have a question.
Yeah.
So having your condition, having your limitations, what is the biggest misconception that people view about you?
Oh my gosh. So one, when I tell them that I have a potassium disorder, they're like, eat bananas. Okay, first of all, no. I also think I'm allergic to bananas, which is a whole other side note. But bananas are not as high in potassium as you think. And eating a banana
right.
is not going to help me right now.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, that is literally everybody's number one go-to is eat bananas. Oh, so you eat a lot of bananas? No.
No. not at all.
The other side has been just having, like, a good relationship with my doctor and, like, just making sure, like, I really know what's going on and taking yeah. time for myself. So it's kind of funny because everybody talks about having... I can't even think of the word right now. Oh my goodness. But taking that time for yourself. And like really just like turning off everything else. Walking away from work. Walking away from other responsibilities if you need it. And like just, you know, shutting the door or locking yourself in the bathroom and taking like a long, deep, hot bath or something like that.
Yeah.
And for me, the way that I kind of did it was I've always just written like when I was upset. And so that was how these books came around, was I did that. Like, I ended up in the hospital. So it was about 2 weeks. They ended up testing me for COVID. They couldn't figure out. They're like, no, your COVID is negative. I was like, I swear, I feel like I've been hit by a bus. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. And it was just, like, horrible for, like, 2 weeks on and off. But every time I could eat, the next day would be fine. And I could tell it was potassium. And finally, I was like, okay, my body's like shutting off. Like, I have to go get potassium. So I ended up at yeah. the hospital. And then again, spent the next, I would say like day or so kind of still recovering. Because like that takes it out of you and you just need to sleep for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my way of getting through it was I started writing to myself pretty much. Like,
oh.
How do I tell myself that I'm okay? How do I tell yeah. myself that this is what I've accomplished. This is what I'm doing. This is like,
right.
almost like what I need to remind myself on those days. And that was kind of how this story, My Hidden Difference, was created was this girl telling other kids just like us that it's okay, and it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to do all of these other things, but that you need to find like a support system, and that it's okay if your illness changes the plans because you have a support system that cares. And I think that right. was the hardest thing for me, was finding a support system that I felt that I like, that cared enough that like change plans wasn't upsetting, if that makes sense. And so
yeah
so I guess that's kind of how I've gotten here and where I'm at, and I feel like I kind of went off topic of your question.
No, you're okay. You're totally okay, I promise you.
But yeah, so that's, I mean, like we've been talking about, it's just every day is a struggle, and sometimes it's that reminder to yourself, or like to, or even like from others, like, hey, it's okay and you're fine. It's okay that we had to change plans. We'll find a different day.
Yeah.
One of my really good friends also has some kind of invisible disorders. And our friendship is amazing. We spend like 2 hours on the phone with each other, like every couple weeks, I would say like 2 weeks or something, where we're at our own houses doing our own things. Like most of the time, like she's drinking wine and I'm taking like a bath. And yeah. we just spend like 2 hours on the phone talking about like life, like anything that's new. And that's our entire friendship. And then like somebody will be like, oh, I'm feeding my dog. Like, and we just go about our daily lives separately.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's so dope.
That's the best kind of friendship.
I definitely, yeah. That's a real true friendship right there. That's a real true friendship. I definitely want to get into, first of all, congratulations on your
book. Thank you.
That's like super amazing. I definitely want to get into your helping paws. Like,
oh, yeah.
First of all, the dog is super dope. B is like super dope. But I want to get into it, because that's amazing that you have an invisible disability, but you write children's books for people like us.
Mm-hmm. So it, like I said, it all started because of this one day. And then I was like, how do I tell my kids this? How do I like have my kids respond if I'm having episodes? So those are in manuscript format. And that's kind of a side note thing. But then I also have a service dog, and I've had him for 3 years. He's getting kind of close to retiring. And so about a year ago, we got a puppy, and we're doing owner training, and training him up to be, he is a service dog already, but because he does already have his tasks and everything, but training him up to kind of eventually take over for my other dog. So the oldest one is Teddy Bear and the youngest one is Polar Bear. And they're both husky. but Polar or Teddy Bear, one of his tasks is semi-mobility. So like I use him if I am kind of losing functioning to guide me out of places. Bear has not learned that.
Okay, yeah. Yet.
So depending on the situation, I still use one over the other. But that was kind of how it started. And I'm sorry, but people do not, in general, do not know how to respond to a service dog. And it's not like I'm mad about it, but there's so little information, and now they're becoming more common. And there's a lot of misconceptions about service dogs. I mean, we went to the store the other day, and this one person did awesome. Was talking to my partner the whole time about what was going on, like what, you know, what's a service dog, things like that. Like, didn't talk to me as the handler with the dog. And then at the very end, goes, "Hi, cute puppy." And I was like, oh, what did you just do? I was so mad. I was like, you just. So this book is awesome because I actually got a bunch of collaborators, and there's a lot of people still interested in showcasing their animals as well. And so there's 6 service dogs in this book. It's told from the perspective of my 2 dogs, and then there's a section which I think are the pages that I've been sharing just to show the different dogs, of 4 other dogs, 4 friends that they introduce and explain, hey, here's our friends. They are B, Peter, Mater, and Boom. And those are the four that they talk about in that book. And they all have very different tasks, different gear. One of my favorites, because I did not know this existed, is Peter, who goes to a chem lab with his human and wears like full lab gear. Goggles.
Really?
Yeah, goggles, shoes, lab coat. Like, I'm like, what?
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
That's amazing.
I think it's so great. And so that's this book, is like looking at that. But then outside of those pages explaining those couple of dogs, it explains what us as service handlers, service dog handlers, and what our animals need from the rest of society. So like, don't talk to us. One time I was at a train station. I don't even remember where I was, but I think it was a train station. And somebody threw bread at my dog that was working under the table behind my back.
Really?
And I was like, are you serious? And it was like somebody that was walking through and they were drunk. And I was like, great. But they're like, still, I can't believe you did that. And luckily there were these really nice people sitting at the table behind us, and they tapped me on the shoulder and were like, hey, I just want you to know that somebody threw, you know, food at your dog, that your dog is like sniffing. Cause like the dog stays under my seat, so I didn't see his head because of the way.
Yeah, right, right.
And so things like that, but also one thing that we say in the book, or that is in the book, is just because your parent tells you it's okay to pet the service dog, if we say no, the answer's still no.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'm like, I don't know where, like, that's okay, where it's like, well, but my 2-year-old sees your dog and they want to pet your dog. And so even though you said no, I'm still going to tell my 2-year-old it's okay.
That doesn't make any sense, because I think what people don't understand is that a service dog is equivalent to a walker.
Your medical equipment.
A service dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's equivalent to a wheelchair. So that's just like saying, I'm in a wheelchair, but you can push it for me. No.
Oh my gosh. Like, now I'm just picturing people like pushing people's wheelchairs.
Yeah, like, wait a minute. What are you can take my cane. You can take my cane that guides me to walk, and I'm blind. No, you can't do that.
Right. And like, these are common things that happen in this community, or like, you're in society around this community. Or like the thing that like all service dogs are guide dogs for people who are blind. And I'm like,
yeah,
no, that's not true.
What?
Or like all medical alert dogs are seizure alert dogs. No.
Yeah.
Mine's medical and I don't have seizures. I know there's like diabetic dogs or diabetic alert dogs that do insulin levels.
Yes.
There are potassium dogs. They're trained to do potassium levels. You can have, you know, seizure alert for sure, but there's all these other ones that you can alert to as well.
That's very true.
And that's the hard part, is what people don't understand. I was just talking to somebody the other day and they're like, oh, well, I always want to pet them and I know it distracts them. And I'm like, do you know why? And nobody understands or seems to understand like what the distraction is. And so what it is when you have an alert dog, they are tuned into your kind of like whatever's going on in your body, all the hormone levels, all that other stuff. And what they're doing is they're sensing a change in that. And so when somebody comes up and puts their hand in front of the dog or tries to pet them or whatever, they pick up that human scent. And they no longer are able to alert, or they will miss the alert for the person that they're supposed to be with.
Yes.
So they can miss seizure alerts, they can miss all these other things, and now you have somebody falling on the floor, and it's all because somebody came up and wanted to pet the dog without permission.
And that makes perfect sense. And that needs to be said more. Mm-hmm. That needs to be explained more, because I don't think from the human eye, naturally, I don't think people that don't have a limitation or disability, I don't think they understand that.
And,
the seriousness of having an alert dog.
And I think that even in general, like, we know what it is when we have alert dogs, but like, we're not legally required to say what our medical diagnosis is. And nobody's allowed to ask. That's HIPAA. So when somebody asks, like, yeah. is it a service dog? The two federal questions they can ask, yes. What are the tasks that they provide? I can say they're medical, and I'm not going to give more medical information per HIPAA. And that is legally an acceptable answer. I once almost got kicked off of an Amtrak train going from like Chicago to Michigan because the person I talked to said that if I didn't tell him a medical diagnosis, he wasn't going to let me continue on the train. And I was like, that's completely illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah, that is right.
That is a federal offense. You can't just kick me off a train because I'm not telling you my medical like information. And he's like, I can do that because other people have done it. I'm like, that's not how that works. I'm sorry.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's definitely not. But okay.
so that book is like more. That one's very close to my heart, and like, let's tell other people what's acceptable and why it's important. And so the dogs even say in the book, like from their perspective, like, we want to play with you. We are dogs. We enjoy like being silly. We make mistakes. Like, we're not perfect. But that we are doing our job, and just like when an adult goes to work, you can't bother them. Please don't bother us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very true.
And it is. Like, the one thing is, they do definitely make mistakes. Somebody posted recently on, like, a service dog group, and they're like, so my dog just, like, pooped in Walmart, and I don't know what to do. And we're like, welcome to the poop club.
Yeah.
Mine, I didn't let out enough, and I was at a conference for a weekend for work and went on the conference floor, and I was mortified. But it was my fault. I didn't give my dog enough breaks.
So
I was like, I felt so bad. I was mortified on that one though.
That makes sense. That's so funny.
But I mean, they are still animals. Like, I can't be like, you don't poop all day long. Like, that's not realistic.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm so glad that you wrote the books though, like, because it's very helpful. For not only people like yourself, but also children that do have, you know, limitations and disabilities, that, and then parents as well, because this is all new. If you have a child that has a disability, not all the time you know what to do straight out the
gate. Right.
And so I feel like the books are definitely going to be a help, and congratulations again on your books. I'm super excited about that. So I want to know, how was your trip to Brazil?
it was interesting. I actually lived there for about 9 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had gotten a Fulbright English teaching assistantship, and quote taught, I guess. We weren't technically allowed to teach classes, but we, at the university I was at, we taught like separate type classes that weren't part of the curriculum. So it was like, that was okay and acceptable. And so I taught a beginner English class, and then we did, myself and the other person that was there, we did a lot of programs on life in the US, or like different lessons, like prepositions. What is an American, and there were some very interesting stereotypes about what Americans look like when we were in that group. But I was in the southernmost part of Brazil, in Rio Grande do Sul, in a little city called Rio Grande, about 3 hours north of the border to Uruguay. Oh, so it's like, think Georgia distance from the equator. South. And then in addition to that, like, I mean, Georgia can get cold, right, in like the winter. Not necessarily snow, but it gets colder. And they don't have indoor heat or like infrastructure for like indoor heat the same way, like I live. So it would be like 40 degrees at night, 50 degrees at night. And then like, yeah, that was interesting. But definitely like culturally and everything, I learned some interesting things, like cashews the way that they grow on a tree is from a fruit. And
really?
Yeah. And then, like, the nut is almost like the flower that comes out of the fruit itself.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then they make juice out of the fruit. Because we're so confused. They're like, it's cashew juice. And we're like, you mean cashew milk? And they're like, no, it's cashew juice made from the fruit. So everybody...
That's crazy.
Like, what are you talking about? We all had to Google it. Like, what is that?
Yeah, because we're used to cashew milk, not juice.
Right, because it's made from the nut. This, they make from the fruit itself. It's like this giant, like...
That's crazy. Oh,
I think it's probably smaller than the size of an apple, but similar.
Wow. So does it still you taste it?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm assuming. So does it taste like cashew?
Yes, it's like water with like a cashew flavor.
That's crazy.
And it's kind of got like that. I don't know. You know how like coconut water has a little bit of like a different consistency to it.
You know, I'm going to be 100. I am allergic to all nuts, so I've never tasted any nut or juice or liquid or milk that has anything to do with that. But
coconut?
I was just asking.
Is coconut considered
I'm allergic
a nut?
To coconut. Yes, it is. It's in the peanut family or nut family.
It has nut in it, but like, I guess I just didn't know that. Hey, I learned something.
Right.
But the coconut's so big.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So it's kind of got like that like texture, thing texture. But
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So then it was interesting because I was there the year of the World Cup. So anytime Brazil played, it was like a national holiday. And we would all just like watch the games. There were a lot of different things that happened that year. Some different strikes and some different things, and we got there right at kind of close to the end of the school year, and then our summer is their winter break, and so so then we had like a couple months or like 2 months off where we're like, well, there's no school because they're on break.
Right
So we got to travel a lot, and so yeah, I mean, it was definitely have a Southern Brazilian accent when I speak Portuguese.
That's so cool. I definitely want to go to Brazil because it just seems like it's so colorful and bright. Like, that's super
fun
cool.
Fact, that was the only year that I did not have to go to the hospital.
Really?
In my entire, like, since as long as I can remember, probably going back to like high school. It was the healthiest year that I've ever had.
Listen, people take advantage of those great times, but that's huge.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, like, it was crazy. Like, the stuff I was able to do, the energy I had, and like, no food cravings. Like, normally there's, like, I can tell that I'm, like, low on potassium or something because I crave a certain food. Like, nothing. It was just, like, the healthiest year of my life.
That's huge. That's huge. Super huge. And that's super dope, though, that you were able to go to Brazil during the best time of your physical life like that.
Part of me wonders if it's, like, the lifestyle, though, if that makes sense. So the food is super super balanced. There, it's like we would eat beans and rice with vinaigrette, which is like a tomato, green pepper, onion vinaigrette kind of thing. Like, you'd have that with like vinaigrette meal, and then some sort of like meat usually on the side, and a lot of really fresh produce or like fresh fruit. And
that could be
so part of me wonders if it's more like the access to the food in that format or like that way, and super balanced meals very
because it's a little bit, it's healthier. It's a lot healthier out there compared to anywhere in the United States.
A lot more accessible. Like, it's weird because, I mean, if you've been to like DC or New York, you know, you have like the metro or like the subway, and there it's all just like public transportation. for the most part, but yeah, you walk so much.
Yes.
And I never had issues with that, which is interesting looking back on, because now, I mean, that especially since everything really picked up with this disorder, I mean, just going for a mile walk with my dogs can be draining. Like, I usually have prep ahead of time, make sure, like, I've done everything I possibly can to prevent an episode, and then I usually still have to take something when I get home.
Yeah. Man. So, it's so intense to have your condition, but I definitely get it.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I like now keep like those little Dixie cups in my car, so that like I always have like a little cup that I can put liquid in with the potassium.
Yeah, cell. Just something. Yeah,
because that was the biggest issue, is I never had anything to put it in. Like, I was like,
right,
I've got the meds, but I need to dissolve it in something.
Right. Yeah. So you gotta find, listen, I get it, because it's like you gotta find like little ways to live. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, but it's just stuff that we just gotta do.
Yeah, and it's hard too, because like, for the most part, I mean, I can tell like if something's starting to paralyze, but people can't really see it. I always feel bad using like a handicap placard or whatever, but I'm like, I know that going to the grocery store, by the time I get out, most likely I'm going to need potassium. Like, I'm not going to be able to find my car. Right. But yeah, I definitely don't look like what you would expect somebody having a disability looks like. And I think I am lucky, because I don't think I've ever been questioned about it. So I know a lot of people get questioned or like, what are you doing?
And yeah.
I can't think of a time where I've really been questioned about that in public.
That's good. That's really good, because like you said, most people do get questioned, like, so what's wrong, like, what
yeah, you got? And I don't know if it's because I keep my service dogs with me and they all say medical alert, EpiPen inside, medical information, like, and so people are like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll leave you alone.
Yeah, right.
But even if I don't, like, I don't think I've been questioned about it, but that might also be because of where I live, and it might be very different if I didn't live so close to Denver, for example. Like, if I lived in a rural town, yeah, or if I lived somewhere, you know, that maybe wasn't as accessible to different things.
That definitely makes sense. So I got a question, like, what is next for Riley? Like, what you, I know you have your books coming, but what's like, what's in 2021? You gotta know.
I have no idea. I have a series of books that I really want to write, but coming up with, like, because I'm choosing the illustrator and paying out of pocket for the illustration, so that I can very much dictate what the illustrators, what the illustrations look like, or have kind of final say, especially with the service dog book. I know that I want to continue those. The getting funding has been an interesting thing. I had an entity reach out recently and ask about doing something similar for another kind of group that would be more abuse driven. And so doing similar type stories for like different populations that maybe don't have as much access to different types of language or books related to something that's happened. But other than that, honestly, I just want to be able to like not have an episode every day. That would be great.
That would be great.
Yes.
Listen, that's what we're looking for in 2021. Less episodes and more books.
Yeah, and to all of our health.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's, I think, like, the nice thing, like, with, I think what both of us are doing, like, your podcast, I know you just came out with a book as well. I saw that, so congrats. That's exciting.
Thank you. Thank
with
you.
With all of that, it's nice, because yes, there's a lot of like, let's network or let's meet different people or let's see who we can help, but at the same time, it's kind of like we can do a lot of it around what we need to do. And I think, like, especially our yes. group really understands. Like, if you were to call me this morning and you're like, look, today's not a good day, can we reschedule? I would have completely understood, because right. I have those days too where I'm like, I gotta cancel everything. Exactly. And I feel like that's not as common kind of outside of this group of, you know, invisible disorders or disabilities in general, or kind of that group. And we're able to, honestly, you could be sitting in your bed for all I know.
No, that's like, true.
We don't have to be sitting at a desk in front of people. Like, we can be. The other day, yes. I worked on my couch because I couldn't move my leg. Like, I was like, cool, this is where I'm working.
Right. Listen, no, I totally understand, because there are a lot of days I get more work done off my legs in the bed, relaxing my body, and I get a lot of stuff done. And it's just like, because of our disability, we know how to compromise, mm-hmm. not looking like the norm, but we're still getting work yeah. done.
And I think that's yeah. what we do. And I think for both of us, and I don't want to speak for you, I guess like, if you agree with this, I'm curious, is like, because we have something to say that's for people with disabilities or people that are kind of this minority group in general, uh-huh. sometimes it's hard to like not like to shut that off or like not work, because you're like, I want to get this info yes. out. I want to help these people. I want to help others like me.
Yes. That's so
you're like,
true.
I'll just sit in my bed.
You will not stop.
Yeah.
At all.
Very, very true.
Body about to shut all the way down. I'd be like, wait, let me just put this post out. Let me. So true.
Yeah,
I do it all the time. I'm like, before I shut my body down, let me just do this last post. Let me just post this. Let me just say this last. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me just like contact this one person, send this one email.
That's so true. I definitely do that.
So I think, yeah, it's having that, like, it's great to have that boundary. It's great that we can do that from wherever we kind of are comfortable. But at the same time, it's kind of like,
I know.
Okay, but I also know I need to stop.
Okay, 10 more minutes. 10 more. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, one more thing. Just, yes. I know.
And then it's like an hour later and you're like, oh.
That's so true. Oh, man. Yeah, I definitely agree with you 110%, because I do that often.
Yeah, I will say that's probably like my biggest like weakness is like being like, yeah. okay, you can do that tomorrow. I've gotten there with work, like with my day job, I guess. It's just getting there with this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I just want to do it.
I'm definitely like that too. I'm like, if I could just get like this one last thing in real quick, and then I'll just let my body shut down, whatever. But I was like, Domo, you know you're gonna get it later. But I just have that urge where I'm like, I just have to get this out to help someone. Even if it's 12 o'clock at night and nobody sees it till 4 o'clock in the morning, it don't matter.
You should see my office. Like, I have, like, they're amazing. They stick to like windows or like smooth surfaces, yeah. but they're like post-it notes almost, and they're like erasable. And I have them all over my office door, and they're like just literally in every which way format all over my door. I have sticky notes on my lap, like my computer. I carry around like this journal now to write down all like these different things that keep coming up. And then my laptop
so
full of, like, stuff on it too. I'm like, at least it's there.
Right,
to
right.
find it later? Question mark. Like,
right, that's so true.
Maybe.
That's so true. Well, Riley, I definitely want to thank you again for being on the show. I appreciate it. I love what you're doing. I love that you push past your disability. And please don't stop. Like, please, whatever you do, because what you're doing is going to help not only yourself, but other people, children, adults that have, you know, disabled children. is and even service people that need service dogs and alert dogs, and I just think that it's not spoken about enough, and I'm glad to know that somebody is taking that stand, like, yo, this is what we do it, but I'm gonna inform you how to help you out with. You're definitely welcome.
Well, thank you. And you too. Like, all of the podcast and all of the advocacy that you do is definitely helpful as well. It's, you know, having people have a place to put their voice out. Like, mine is to kind of help them find it, whereas, like, yours is like, okay, now let's give you a platform to actually get your voice out there.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that, for real. I'm just... You know, we all just trying to, we're trying to get this community their voice heard, period. Because I feel like we have so much to say, and we have so much that we do, and we get overlooked just because of the title of what we deal with. But that's not us, though. At all. I just want to know, are you ready for the question? Are you ready for the, are you ready? All right, here it is. What is your unpopular opinion? Okay. Ooh.
Oh goodness. I don't even know which way to go. There's so many different ways. Like, I'm like, opinion about food.
Whatever it is.
I think that, and I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or if it's more of a divided opinion, might be a better way to say this, is for service dogs, there's kind of two different trains of thought. One is service dogs should look a certain way, or there's certain breeds that are better than others, or certain breeds for certain tasks. And I disagree with that. Service dogs, as long as they do what the person needs them to do and they have that relationship and they're able to do their tasks, it doesn't matter what that dog is. Because just like we're looking past our disabilities, we should be looking past the breed or the size of the dog. Granted, you know, you're not going to use a small dog or a toy-sized dog for mobility because they can't physically do it. But if you need to have a dog, you know, that's an alert dog, for example, there isn't necessarily a specific size, like there's not a size requirement on an alert dog, as long as they can do their job. And I think that it's more of a divided opinion on that. And then kind of a little bit further is there's an opinion that dogs should come from organizations. And I also disagree with that statement. I'm more of a whatever works for that person. So you can, it is legal in the US to train your dog yourself. I've worked with a trainer and then we self-trained, and she helps us with like making sure we're doing the right tasks, or if we, you know, come against a wall, she helps us with that. But I didn't need to get mine through an organization, and sometimes organizations can cost a lot of money, like tens of thousands of dollars. And for others, they did need to go through it because for different reasons, settings, they couldn't get the setting trained correctly in certain ways, or because of their disability, they couldn't physically be the one to train. They needed a dog that was already trained. And so there's a train of thought on like, it creates that bond and that relationship in the human, or like the owner training. But then on the other side, you get typically a dog that's already trained. But that's not always the case. And there are some situations where they've gotten dogs and they weren't necessarily trained the way they were, even though they paid the money for it. So I guess it's more of an opinion on the debate than it is a super unpopular opinion.
Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Well, thank you again for being a guest on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And you already know we forever friends. You're listening to Don't Let the Disability Fool You. I'm your host, Domo Jones. Until next time, we out. Love you.